ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Middle East leaders calling this a pivotal time following the assassination of a top Hamas leader in Iran and a top Hezbollah leader in Lebanon. ABC's Marcus Moore is in Beirut.
The past several months, we have seen a series of attacks on U.S. personnel in both Iraq and Syria. But at this point, it remains to be seen how all of these events are connected. And it certainly does raise the concern that these events that we've watched unfold here could have an impact on stability across the region.
Iran announcing that the leader of Hamas's political wing, Ismail Haniyeh, was assassinated overnight. Angry townspeople in Southport, England, clashing with local police outside a mosque as speculation grows about the 17-year-old who police say stabbed multiple children during a dance class this week. Three of them died. Olympic triathletes diving into the River Seine for competition. The water deemed safe enough for the race. This is ABC News. The state of Texas winning a round in court in the fight over the buoys it put into the Rio Grande.
The 1,000-foot-long string of interconnected buoys separated by saw blades was deployed a year ago. The Justice Department immediately filed suit saying Texas was in violation of international treaties because the Rio Grande is a navigable river. The state argued that the barrier was meant to funnel migrants to safe and legal ports of entry. The Fifth Circuit did not address the immigration issue yesterday, but instead ruled that that section of the river cannot be navigated by commercial ships or barges. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
The Carter Center is casting doubts on Venezuela's elections, saying a lack of transparency means it's impossible to verify the results. The Venezuelan government declaring President Nicolas Maduro won. Artificial intelligence giving a huge boost to Samsung's bottom line. High demand for memory chips driving a 15-fold increase in operating profits up to $7.5 billion. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has an opening for an account executive in our Madison office. In this position, you'll help connect our loyal and engaged audience to local businesses. This is an outside sales position, so experience in business-to-business, prospecting, and closing local businesses is important. Our portfolio of solutions for advertisers includes radio, podcasting, and digital solutions. Learn more and apply online. Go to civicmedia.us, click on About Us, and work with us.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's young people are in a mental health crisis. That's according to new survey results from the Department of Public Instruction. 59% of high school students said they've dealt with at least one mental health challenge in the past year. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley says schools need more mental health services. Kamala Harris is running for president, but overall, fewer women are running for office across the country this fall. Princeton University's Debbie Walsh.
Women have been essential to flipping the most competitive seats in recent election years, and women of color have been winning both statewide executive and legislative seats in states and districts with majority white electorates.
Record numbers of women were elected to Congress in the last three cycles, but now the Center for American Women in Politics says the numbers have dropped off this year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers bow to the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Braves 5-1 last night at home. Milwaukee's Joe Ross giving up all five runs. GM Matt Arnold talked about the new pitcher he picked up in that trade with the Reds, Frankie Montas.
Fits in really well with the type of player we were looking for. Really good pedigree, has pitched in the postseason, checks a lot of boxes for us, and we think he has a chance to really help us here in the second half.
NFL Packers making roster moves. They've re-signed former Badgers long snapper Peter Bowden. They released place kicker Jake Turner. So that means the competition is now down to Greg Joseph or Anders Carlson. The Badgers training camp getting underway on a hot day at UW-Platteville.
It's only 83. I don't know what hot and humid is to everybody. It is a little thick, and we needed that. Coach Brady promised me it was going to be 90s this week, and I thought that was going to be something that was going to be good for us. And we actually walked out here, and there was a haze over top of the field, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen.
That's Wisconsin Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be warm and humid today, partly cloudy with a high of 88 and a heat index in the mid to upper 90s. And there is a chance of thunderstorms this morning and again later this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms 70. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Pat Kraetlow of Up North News is in the guest host chair and a great conversation with Trigby Olson, the Lincoln Project. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Transmitted by wire.
Here is the latest news brought into your own living room.
You'll be hard to satisfy with anything less.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Talk is cheap.
Gib, gib, gib. Who is gossiping?
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Hi-Fi Plus.
And that's the way it is.
We'll do it live.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys. 7 a.m. comes
too fast. WMDX, the John and Gordy Catherine Show, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, broadcasting from State Street in the capital city of Wisconsin, Madison.
Beautiful sunshine this morning and 69 degrees. We'll see maybe a shower or a thunderstorm this afternoon. Hot and humid all day long, high about 86. And this portion of the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's east side or west side, or just go online, verlo.com.
We have our news guy, Terry Bell, in the studio. But, Terry, you don't mind if we just take a phone call real quick? Mark is on the line right now. We want to get to that.
It's been waiting 80 minutes or so.
Okay. Do we have a little feedback there? Okay, we're good.
Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, you were talking earlier about some of these Christians wanting to know what everybody else is doing. It's kind of got a Stalinist secret police ring to it, and that probably goes back to the old Puritan days when they were expecting people to, you know, conform and any kind of dissension at all or deviation from the orthodoxy that they wanted, that you'd get in big trouble. That's what happened to Ann Hutchinson, and she was having meetings with her women in her community and talking what her views on God was all about, and they didn't like that at all. So eventually it led to her getting booted out of Massachusetts and down to Rhode Island, I guess.
Yeah, they wanted the freedom of religion only for their religion, though. So, yeah. All right, good point, Mark. We're going to move on here, and we'll talk to Terry Bell. What's the big story, Terry?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
It's bad news, unfortunately. So kids in Wisconsin are in rough shape. That's according to a new youth risk behavior survey was conducted by the State Department of Public Instruction. They spoke with about 1,900 young people in 42 high schools last year. Numbers are, they're pretty dire. 59% of Wisconsin high school students say that they dealt with at least one mental health challenge in the past year. 79% of LGBTQ plus kids reported experiencing anxiety. 63% say they experienced depression, and 40% say they've actually even considered committing suicide.
Oh, wow.
That's
awful.
Definitely, if there ever was a red flag, this is it.
Is there any way that they're sourcing this? Why are these children feeling like this? It's not just something that they feel in school. They must be getting it in their personal life.
It's a lot of things. On the macro level, it's things like, big, crazy events like the pandemic.
Yeah.
Political divisiveness definitely is striking kids' nerves quite a bit. And just the the way our national dialogue has gone downhill. That
and
sort
the
of thing.
Earth is dying.
Well, yeah, the environment definitely is weighing heavily on young people's minds. So it's all of that.
And social media.
Social media kind of, you know, magnifies and distorts a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's really, really a tough time to be a young person. They need our help.
Yep. The pandemic is going to have lasting results from that, sadly.
I suspect
yeah, it's
so.
A generational yeah. thing. Yeah. My kids were definitely affected by that. Mm-hmm. The Gen Zers in the mid-20s. Yeah, it's bad stuff. So hope upon hope that, you know, there is a light in the end of the tunnel here, because, you know, if we go down, well, and I don't want to get political, but okay.
Right. Well, they are calling for more social workers,
yes.
you know, more counselors in mm-hmm. schools. And there are also things that don't necessarily require, you know, action by officials or legislators. Mm-hmm. You know, schools can become more welcoming environments in ways that don't have to take a whole lot of organization or effort. You know, a lot of the kids in the survey said they just don't feel a part of things at mm. school. And that's something that can be rectified.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just moved my kid from Illinois to here and got her out of Chicago thinking, oh, I got to get her out of the inner city, you know, environment and get her to a more friendly and warm and, you know, Wisconsin is, of course, where I want to go. And now you're telling me it's not good here either. Dang.
I suspect it's not great anywhere. Well, no, I don't think Wisconsin is necessarily an outlier.
No. Well, and I just wonder, you know, this is something I've wondered for a long time. Is the PTA or the PTO, the parent teachers organizations, are they still active at schools? With both parents working and both, you know, a lot of parents have jobs at, you know, daytime or nighttime. Are those organizations involved as much as they used to be with not only counseling, but, you know, advising them on curriculum and other school activities?
Good question.
I just wondered that.
It's funny. We never hear about them.
You never hear about the
PTA Never hear
anymore.
About them ever.
Yeah.
We hear about school boards and parents, you know, angry at school boards, but we never hear about PTOs or PTAs.
Well, and a lot of fighting about what's going to be in the library, you know, what books are going to be in or what books to add.
Terry, thank you very much for coming in.
See you again.
The whole thing here is that I think there's a tension that's being created artificially by politicians, you know, targeting, you know, what people are called in school, you know, the social media efforts to, you know, take cell phones away from kids in schools. I'm not mm-hmm. quite sure I believe in that, but I can understand the pressures that the children have to put up with. In social life, and they're very active, by the way. The Gen Zers are very active, and I think the Alphas,
that's nice.
Gen Alphas, mm-hmm. are also very active and have a few opinions, political opinions, right? Your child? No?
TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok.
Well, what is she? You know, I'm curious about this because, you know, she is very good on TikTok.
Yeah,
I think she's doing a really nice job with the videos. But here's the thing. What happens when that thing goes away? There's no buyers for it yet. They're still suing the government, hoping that they can get some kind of a lifeline, a delay on trying to sell TikTok to somebody else, and then also prove that they're not providing information to China.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen because, of course, they are. If they own it, they get all the data. And I for a long time, personally, I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to sign up for DNA 123 or whatever it was, and I'm going to throw it at the other place that asked for it. I'm spitting mm-hmm. into bottles all over the place. I made my daughter spit. I made my ex-husband spit. Got my sister doing it, my nephew. And I'm on social media. I'm in. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one too many times, my phone brings up an ad, and I think, oh, they got me. And it's becoming now, and I'm 59 years old. Now I'm getting a little creeped out.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, oh, how much of this ride do I want to do with Google?
Yeah.
And just some of it, I just want to be in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah. There's a story here about, you know, TikTok. The U.S. is staring down a potential TikTok ban. Congress passed and President Biden signed that bill back in April.
Bad move.
That included language saying the platform would be banned in the U.S. in a year unless ByteDance, which I'm not...
ByteDance, they own it.
Unless they divest.
Yeah.
You know, so that's out there.
And they're separate. Yeah. I just tend to believe it. And personally, all the information you get from TikTok, go ahead, use the damn stuff. I don't care, So they know what the market's like in this country. So what?
But they do influence. I mean, Bailey, my daughter, watching these TikToks, mm-hmm. she is getting a perspective.
But it's like that on every social media source.
True.
So it's no different. And the kids are very creative. They love that. I like to encourage the creativity, and that's why I like TikTok. I don't necessarily use it myself, but everybody uses it. It's just fun, and you get really kind of, a lot of weird information.
Yes.
And you've become your own little broadcaster. You can give your own little opinion.
Well, of course, you're, an older gentleman. And this is a 14-year-old we're talking about.
Gentlemen, that's pushing it.
The young kids using it, it really is
Gordy,
kind of...
Gordy, you said that part out loud.
Oh, sorry.
Careful.
I thought my mic was off.
It is formative. I mean, that's the problem.
It is.
It is formative for young kids and what they're getting fed. The algorithm is not ours to work with. It's China's.
All right.
So, I don't know.
Okay.
So this is the big story. What do you got? Is that it?
That's not the big story.
That's not the big story. You got something else?
I want to get to Ron Johnson.
Oh, boy.
Look, they're investigating the assassination attempt of Trump, okay?
Right. Yep.
One thing I didn't know about the shooter was that he surveilled the area with a drone a couple of hours before the rally.
Not days, hours?
No, hours.
Okay.
Hours. Yeah. Yeah. And he was, stockpiling a year before. In order to carry off something like this.
Serious?
Yeah, but that's not what came out with Ron Johnson.
No.
His questioning.
No.
He questioned acting Secret Service Director Roe about the Trump assassination attempt. And notice this. I'm going to play a clip. It's 1:56. And it's how Johnson defends domestic terrorism. He's defending domestic terrorism by denying it even exists in this comment. You'll hear it because most cases are committed by right-wing individuals or groups. So when we say domestic terrorism, we're talking right-wing groups, and he's part of the right wing and he doesn't like it. It's insulting to him. Let's check this clip out.
Deputy Director Abate, you said this is an assassination attempt and domestic terrorism. It's obviously assassination attempt. Why make the distinction? What is different about that?
We think it's important to cover all the possibilities here and the reality of what we're dealing with and what we've all seen, Senator. And we've learned lessons from the past. The tragic shooting at the baseball field was referenced here. We've learned the lesson from that. That was not opened properly. And we've made changes in the Bureau, and it's reflected here,
right here
in terms of how this investigation is being approached with a completely open mind and inclusive of all the possibilities, including domestic terrorism.
I fear that makes the investigation potentially partisan.
There you go.
Including domestic terrorism.
I fear that makes the investigation potentially partisan.
What?
He thinks the investigation is now partisan because they're also looking at it as possible domestic terrorism because, again, right-wing groups are the perpetrators of domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part.
So I thought this was interesting. This is an X tweet. Meanwhile, let's do a quick ear check on Trump, and it looks like Trump's ear healed up faster than Wolverine or Deadpool.
Yeah, it looks just fine now. I thought it pierced his ear, but they've had close-ups of them.
They've shown close-ups.
It looks perfectly fine.
He doesn't even touch it. Huh. Like you think it would be a little itchy yet,
or something,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or favoring it in some way, shape, or does it?
Limping?
Nothing. Yeah,
limping.
Throwing his balance off.
Could be. 19 minutes past the hour. A little while from now, Mike McCabe will be joining us here in the studio. Next, we've got, Media World is next. Deadpool and Wolverine, right?
That's right.
Oh, can't wait to
saw
hear
that yesterday.
Okay. It's coming up on WMDX.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Let's go to the movies.
Right.
All right.
The passion, the pathos, the honesty, the despair. Never before have the torments of movie critics been so vividly portrayed.
One ticket or two, sir?
No, I took the whole family.
Oh, you took everybody?
Yeah, we had four tickets, and we all sat there in the seats.
Where'd you go? What did you do?
At Point Theater.
Okay.
Yeah, the big screen.
Yeah?
All digital, fantastic sound.
Those big luxury seats?
Yeah.
The lounge
chairs? Oh, yeah, of course.
Do you lean back all the way, put the feet up?
No, yeah, you know, if you lean back all the way, it doesn't have the headrest adjustment, though.
Right. Oh.
So your head is kind of...
Too far back.
You got to hold your head up.
You're looking down your nose at the screen, yeah.
Yeah.
In winter, it's you because you're so tall.
I can just, you know, bundle up my jacket and use it as a pillow. So
it is because he's too tall.
It kind of boosts my head up.
You're too tall for the chairs.
Yeah.
No, it's still flat.
Is it,
no matter how tall you are, you're still kind of reclined.
Yeah.
You're saying it reclines too much.
Well, no, it doesn't. No, you can recline as much as you want. It's just that the headrests nowadays have the adjustable headrests.
Oh, okay.
Which really helps. And again, I use a jacket. I bundle it up in winter, and I use it as a pillow to hold my head up.
Okay.
Why don't you just bring in a pillow?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that looks good.
That's a good look.
Like a homeless person stopping by to see a movie.
bring a pillow, a little blankie.
My car.
Maybe a teddy bear.
My shopping cart. With the
Why not?
Just leave it in the lobby.
Why not?
All right. Well, maybe next time.
Okay. So what about this Deadpool and the wolf dude?
Oh, that's
what's
what
that
saw?
About?
The wolf dude.
Whatever this
wolf man.
What's
wrong with you?
Teenage wolf.
Where have you been?
Yeah, I said I was going to the matinee, and then Gordy said he was going to go too.
Yeah, okay. I forgot. I was doing. I got sidetracked.
And I ended up going to every seat to see if he was in each one.
Bull.
And he wasn't
it was
there.
So dark.
Yeah, people were angry by the time I ended up sitting down.
All right. Well, what'd you think of the movie?
Okay.
John?
What do I think about Deadpool and Wolverine?
Right.
I didn't like it. I did
like
it much. No, I did not.
Why?
Well, this is a typical problem that the Marvel Universe has. That when they have a character that has a strength, one kind of strength or the other, in Deadpool's case, he's just a rabid talker. He's constantly insulting everybody, and
very
he's
funny.
Very funny stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Very R-rated.
Yeah.
And the whole thing here is that they played that up so much that it just got lost in what story there was. It was just constant arguing, bickering, swearing at each other, and it was long segments of this, just beyond, you know, where they should have just really pared this thing down dramatically. This conflict between Wolverine and Deadpool. Now, in the previous Deadpool movies, Wolverine was a constant reminder. Deadpool just loved Wolverine.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, he had to have models of him dying. With a stake through his body. Deadpool really liked Wolverine. So this is a culmination of all of those other movies, this admiration he had for Wolverine. So they get together, and all they did was bicker, argue, and then they kept fighting each other. And it's just like, okay, in superhero genre, it's great to see these heroes fighting each other to see who's stronger.
Right.
It's always like that. It's not just villains. But the actual heroes get to fight each other. Mm-hmm. But they did this all the way through the damn movie, and I just wanted it to end. Please, end. And it was just too long.
Yeah.
The story was too simple. Deadpool had a girlfriend, and I'll tell you, that was a great relationship in the first two movies.
That black-haired woman, I love her.
But in this movie, she had almost no lines at all.
Oh, she is in it, though.
And yeah, she's in it.
Ish.
Yeah, briefly in certain parts. But at this point, she wasn't given lines. And she had the same kind of sense of humor and dialogue that Deadpool, or Wade Wilson, that's his name, in the movie. But they were great. They were a perfect match. In this movie, she said almost nothing at all. So the character just got wasted in this film. So big thumbs down.
Wow,
for me.
So you didn't like it? Huh?
Was it in focus?
I was going to ask you. Was it in focus?
It was in focus.
How
Brody.
Was the sound? Did it sound good?
Oh, the sound was unbelievable.
Popcorn fresh?
We don't have popcorn. We get there so late.
Okay.
We never have time to get the free popcorn.
Was the Coke well carbonated? Did you get
enough ice?
Butter?
Again, nothing. Nothing. We did not go to the concession stand because my kids are always late to go to the movies.
And they sneak in their own food, I guess.
No, really? Nothing.
Okay.
By the way, after the movie, we always go to get some fast food.
Yeah.
And we take it home and then we discuss the movie for about 2 or 3 hours.
Come on.
I'm not kidding.
That's your habit?
Detail.
That's what we do. That's what we always do.
I believe that.
What a loving family.
Yeah.
2-hour movie, 3-hour discussion.
Did the boys like it?
My Gen Zers did like it.
They liked
the movie.
Okay.
So for you...
Even my criticisms of these constant fights that they have throughout it, and the long stretches of no story, just walking and arguing and
fighting. Sounds like a game. Sounds like a video game.
They kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Did it set up what would the next movie would be? I mean, was there a cliffhanger or something?
No, it was a happy ending.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm baffled by this. So, is this what happens with Marvel? You said a lot that they get too self-reflective. Is it like, oh, we know that Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman are so friendly, and so we're gonna, and they're so good, and their characters are so beloved. Let's just make it all about them.
But they play up the characters' attributes.
Yes,
again. Swearing and criticizing everybody is his thing, Deadpool's thing, and they just played it up to the point where you just stop it, you know? Okay, I get it. But it applied to a certain situation in the story. This time, they just threw this stuff in, and it just lasted forever.
And the cameos weren't cute to you?
Some of the cameos were cute. Yeah.
A lot of cameos?
Chris Evans was in there. He was the Human Torch this time, not Captain America.
Hmm. See, I don't know the differences between all the... Is Captain America also Marvel, not DC?
No, it's Marvel.
It's Marvel, okay. So he changed his role. That's
It was fun to see
it because
he was in the Fantastic Four, the Human Torch. And so, he was much better as a Captain America... But it was great to see him reprise the Human Torch role.
I'm going to say this out loud. I think there's 12 people in the audience that know what the heck you're talking about.
Oh, well, there was something else that... Do you know who Loki is from the Thor movies?
No.
No idea.
See? Come on,
Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah.
Luke knows.
Yeah. Oh, Luke's with you.
Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's his son's age. So what about him?
There was a series on Disney Plus.
Yep,
and Loki. Mm-hmm. And it had to do with a timeline. It was called the Time Variance Authority, the TVA.
Yeah,
and they had to protect the timelines for all these different universes, and that was also in this movie, and that got cluttered into the story somewhere.
Cluttering.
And it was cluttering.
It was cluttering. Yeah. It's a bad movie because it was cluttering.
And for a lot of people who didn't watch Disney Plus's Loki, I think most people didn't see it. They didn't know what the hell was going on in the movie.
So I'll be unamused. Is what you're saying, because I'm so.
Well, I didn't think it was a good movie.
I like Deadpool.
Everybody should go and see for themselves.
And I love Hugh Jackman.
Is your 14-year-old daughter a big fan of Deadpool?
Yeah, not yet. No, I think 14 feels young to me.
Yeah, you think so?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Okay.
Anne loves Ryan Reynolds.
Me too. She's right. All women. She's correct.
And Hugh Jackman.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So I guess it really doesn't matter what the story is.
No.
So they like the movie.
I will like it. You're right.
Okay. Just to see them, shirtless. Sometimes a butt scene. What can I do?
All right.
So that's in there.
Good enough. 7:29. Coming up next, Mike McCabe will be joining us here. And we'll get to Mike in just a couple of minutes on the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The recent heavy rains across Wisconsin have significantly impacted mosquito populations, leading to a heightened mosquito pressure in many areas of the state, particularly in areas such as the Driftless area and the Northwoods. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Wisconsin state entomologist P.J. Leash, who's also known as the Wisconsin Bug Guy, says that in addition to the mosquitoes, the recent weather conditions have also led to increased activity from other pests.
A few things stand out to me that I've been seeing some issues with, both in crop fields, but also in home gardens and in ornamental plantings and yards, so flowers and trees and shrubs and things like that. And a couple of things that stand out to me would be some pests like earwigs, which are mostly active after dark, and they can chew notches in leaves. And so if you are a farmer or a gardener and you look at your plants and you can't figure out what's causing the damage, one suggestion I have been throwing out there to folks is head out after dark with a flashlight or a headlamp, because earwigs can cause damage after dark.
That's state entomologist P.J. Leash along with us. I'll have more agriculture news right after this.
A voice for farmers.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau is the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward. Our voting members set policy that guides the organization on the local, state, and national level, with the ultimate goal of helping farmers like you and me back home. You can make a difference by becoming a member at WFEF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your morning agribusiness news. This week's episodes of the Dairy Signal from professional dairy producers kicked off yesterday and featured interactive conversations to benefit a farm's culture, brand, and security. You can tune in today to learn about the opportunities to grow your farm's social media reach, engagement, and sales, and how to determine if outsourcing or working with a freelancer is the right fit for you. And on Thursday, join a conversation about keeping facilities secure, including use of security cameras, alarm systems, and much more. You can learn more about this as well as find other agribusiness news stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, sign up for our e-newsletter as we'll deliver 5 stories to your inbox every day. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be warm and humid today, partly cloudy with a high of 88 and a heat index in the mid to upper 90s. And there is a chance of thunderstorms this morning and again later this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms 70. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Wednesday to a very special Devil's Advocates. We'll have Heretics for Harris. We'll have Satanists for Harris. We'll have White Dudes for Harris. Vote for Harris.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 3 to 6.
Thank you.
on an incredibly hot and humid morning in Madison. Help us all, please. WMDX, the John Gordy Catherine Show.
Yep.
And our special guest each and every Wednesday morning. We're not at Short Stack this time, but we have Substack. Mike McCabe in the studio this morning. And boy, have we got a great topic. And I love this. We're talking about J.D. Vance an awful lot here on the show. Mm-hmm. And you've got something because you had the same question about allergy that I had. Hillbilly allergy.
Hillbilly allergy.
What is that all about?
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, highfalutin term from a man of the people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. I am not ashamed to admit that when I first picked up the book back in 2017, I had to look in the dictionary to find out what allergy meant.
I did the same thing.
I had absolutely no clue. It was not a term I was familiar with. Found out that it's a lament for the dead. Traces to a Greek word that means a song of mourning. I hated the book. But there's an awful lot of revisionist history being written nowadays because a lot of liberals were really charmed by the book and found, you know, were touting it and telling their friends to read it and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because it confirmed a stereotype that a lot of liberals want to believe in about rural people.
Right.
And that's why I hated the book, is because it so relentlessly stereotyped the people of Appalachia.
Right.
And they have to be deeply offended by that book, is all I can say. There got to be a whole lot of people living in that region who feel used. And the thing is that the book always was about using those stereotypes and using that story of that region to launch a political career. And of course, it worked out really well for him. And he sold a lot of copies of the book. The right-wingers loved it because it confirmed their belief that poverty is nothing but a character flaw.
Exactly.
Hey, pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Right,
you don't need any help from anybody. You just have to sort of bootstrap it, and everything is going to be fine. But then the people on the left also sang the book's praises because it kind of confirmed their belief that rural people are stupidly voting against their own interests.
Right. Mm. Exactly.
So, yeah. So they got a different take from the book.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of were willing to overlook the whole thing about poverty being a character flaw.
Uh-huh.
And they zeroed in on, well, these rural people really are voting against their own interests. They don't know what they're thinking. They don't know how to vote.
Or that they're drug addicted as well.
Yeah. And I just looked at that from the get-go and thought that's really a smear against everybody is way more complicated than a one-dimensional portrayal is going to lead you to believe.
Right.
And so, that's what I wrote about this week on my Substack.
Well, I watched the movie on Netflix, and it was depressing. I got, I think, three-quarters of the way through, and I just said, I don't need to watch any of this dysfunctional family. It was just awful. His mother was abusive, a drug addict. I don't know if it's the same way in the book as well, but I thought, do I need to watch dysfunctional families on my TV set? Probably not.
Well, in the early pages of the book,
you
don't even get through the first chapter, and he's writing a depiction of his uncles. He's got some uncles who he portrays as nothing but drunks who beat their wives. He doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop with memoir. He doesn't say, this is part of my family story. He then goes on to declare them the epitome of the Appalachian man.
Wow.
And that kind of launches him into the whole, the whole stump speech. It stops being a memoir and it becomes a stump speech, that book. And he talks about how these social pathologies that he discovered as a child when he visited his grandparents in Kentucky, what it really requires is bootstrapping. There ain't no government program that's going to save these people, that they've got to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And that's the book, in a nutshell. And Ron Howard is sort of a known Democrat, sure. You know, liberal Hollywood producer. And he was so smitten by the book that he made the movie about it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I was really disappointed that Ron Howard had anything to do with that.
Well, I'm sure now, now when he became a U.S. senator as a Republican, and now he's the vice presidential nominee of the Republican Party, a lot of people who were singing the praises of that book are now saying, whoa, you know,
wait a minute.
wait a minute. I didn't really read it that way.
Yeah.
And you know, it was very cagily written, so that there was something there for right wingers. There was something there that played to left wing
stereotypes, that we
biases
have.
Yes. Or prejudices as well. Mm. And, you know, doggone it, the victims out of that were the people of that region,
yeah,
who are more complicated than that, and they deserve a better portrayal.
Well, the governor, Andy Beshear, is angry about the whole book, the whole idea, and basically that J.D. Vance is still talking about it and still portrays those individuals as, you know, as real Americans.
Yeah. So
it almost seems, and I told my wife this after we were watching this, I said, you know, this was such a dysfunctional family and relatives and just a horrible, nightmarish life to live, that they're making this sound like this is the real American, because real Americans struggle and keep those families together and stay together, even if they're dysfunctional and abusive.
Now, one of the other things I wrote in my article is that wasn't J.D. Vance's experience.
Right.
That wasn't that wasn't his immediate family.
Right.
He actually didn't grow up in Appalachia.
And that's Beshear's problem with it. Is he
grew up in a Cincinnati suburb.
Right.
And he lived about halfway between Cincinnati and Dayton. Not part of the 13-state region that's known as Appalachia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He spent weekends there sometimes.
He would go there in the summer. He would visit his grandparents in the summer. So what he was really writing about were grandparents and uncles and aunts.
His impressions.
He was looking at extended family, and he was writing about childhood impressions of what he visited. But that wasn't what he was living. And if he's going to pass himself off as a real American, then his suburban upbringing was real America too.
Yeah.
Talking with Mike McCabe here from Substack, or you've got the Substack articles there. And so what do you think J.D. Vance's future here is a vice presidential candidate? It seems like he can't keep his foot out of his mouth. It just
We've seen so many problems with him. You know, I saw a couple of clips. One clip was he started speaking at a podium, and the sign on the front of the podium dangled off.
Yeah.
Dangled off. Then he was speaking to a larger crowd, and the mic cut out and didn't come back.
I mean, so, those things aren't his fault, but
no,
I mean,
but
just one thing
like
after another. You know?
Yeah. It's a Dan Quayle thing.
It is.
Don't you think his biggest problem of all is that he's been chosen by Donald Trump to be his vice presidential nominee?
Yes.
And he's getting all this attention, which has got to drive the guy at the top completely bonkers.
Yes.
Because Donald Trump, you know, wants one thing more than anything, and that's wants all attention focused on him. That's
absolutely right. He wants the spotlight.
And every time J.D. Vance opens his mouth and creates another controversy, he's putting the spotlight on him instead of Trump. And I got to believe Donald Trump's sitting there thinking, can I have Mike Pence back?
He's quiet.
You know, he was nice and quiet until I wanted to kill him. But you know.
We have a text here, Mike. It says, I hope he gives us an update on the farm bill. Okay? I know we're shifting gears here.
that's a segue.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I just wanted to respond to that text. Do you have any update on the farm bill?
Well, the farm bill is in a state of flux. You know, it was supposed to be done last September.
Mm-hmm.
A farm bill gets adopted every 5 years. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to get done in September of 2023. They didn't come close to being able to put together a new bill. So they created a one-year extension. and just operating under the old farm bill provisions for another year. But can you imagine Congress doing anything in September of 2024 in the middle of the election season?
No, not happening.
So they're not going to do anything until 2025. Yeah. They're already, you know, pushing a year overdue on a farm bill. And that's not cool. You know, farm policy needs to continue to be updated, and they're not doing anything.
Well, yeah. Especially this year with so many, you know, we've had so much rain and flooding, and farmers are, you know, they're singing the blues here. They're having trouble getting their crops in and, you know, wondering what it's going to be at around harvest time.
Yeah, if you expect farmers to continue to operate under old policies mm-hmm. when the landscape is yeah. evolving rapidly for them, that's putting a lot of farmers at peril. Also, with climate change, there's an awful lot of parts of the farm bill that are about doing something to help with climate change. All of that's on hold, mm-hmm. which, you know, we can't be on hold on that issue. Right?
No, we can't. And Project 2025, let's just say Trump does win, they're going to cut back on farm aid. You know, when crops don't work out, you know, you can't get, you know, a subsidy to hold you over. They're not going to help with land erosion anymore. And they're going to pull back on the availability of Medicaid for farmers who, you know, do not make money that year because of expenses. Right. So they're going to be in a big, big deep hole. By the way, then they're going to go after their labor and deport all these immigrants. So it's a really horrible situation for farmers. I don't know why they're not panicking at this point.
Yeah. Short answer to the question is that I think they'll have to do another 1 year extension in September mm-hmm. and then, you know, kick the can down the road another year.
Yeah. Well, that is an easier solution, an extension. Mm-hmm. Why don't we get to the amendments that are coming up in a week or two weeks. A special election on this, where we're going to be voting on giving the assembly or the legislature control over federal tax dollars that come here during emergency situations. What do you got on that?
Well, you know, I think it's a mistake actually to debate this from the standpoint of who should decide how to spend federal funds in an emergency. Mm-hmm. We should never, ever amend the Constitution because one party is temporarily incapable of getting the policy outcomes that they want.
That's the big picture.
That's it.
To me, that's the thing that people are not focusing on and should focus on. They're trying to make this about a policy debate. Who should have the purse strings when mm-hmm. federal funds come in during an emergency?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're saying it should be the legislature. And others say, well, it should be the governor. They never had a problem with the Constitution. They never saw any flaws in the Constitution when the governor's powers were in the hands of Scott Walker or Tommy Thompson or Scott McCallum before Walker. Mm-hmm. They only have a problem when they're temporarily incapable of getting their way. And you should never, ever amend the Constitution, which is supposed to be a framework for how our government works, not legislation that sets public policy at any given moment. Hmm. And when at any given moment, one party is incapable of getting its way and getting the policy outcomes that they want, they're not saying, hey, let's maybe work together and work something out. Let's compromise. Or they're not saying, well, we'll just go out there and try to win the next election so that we get a governor of our own.
That should be the result.
They're saying, oh, we got a problem with the Constitution now, and we should change that founding document so that we fix the outcome and create what we want all the time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is about power. That is not about policy.
Absolutely.
Great. Talking with Mike McCabe here, 7:49. Mike, can you stay with us a few more minutes? All right. We will be back with more with Mike McCabe and John and Gordy on WMDX.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matinair on Air.
Burrow has a lifetime comfort guarantee because you can't risk it when it comes to that all-important, never long enough, cozy dreamland we call sleep. You can't let something like a mystery-made mattress in a box get between you and that much-needed shut-eye. We will adjust the comfort of your mattress for its lifetime, and we call that a lifetime comfort guarantee. And for that, you gotta go to Verlo. American made, locally crafted, welcome to Verlo.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Up in the morning at the crack of dawn. Morning has broken.
Now the morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball.
Woke up, fell out of bed. Dragged a comb across my head.
7 a.m. comes too fast. Roll out of the bed to that alarm clock flash. It's a beautiful
7:51, cloudy this morning. A few clouds now developing, and we're right around 70 degrees. Looking for high in the upper 80s, hot and humid through the day. This portion of the John and Gordy Show, sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com. We're back with Mike McCabe in the studio with us.
And we're talking about, we just got done talking about one of your Substack articles. I want to kind of get your impressions about somebody who's starting to stand out. You know, we're talking about vice presidential nominees that Kamala could... Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Catherine's standing behind me. But who she may choose. And one person that has stood out more than any is Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Have you checked out any of the stuff he's been saying? What do you think of? What was your impression of Tim Walz?
I have a very favorable impression of him. And I've been checking him out, too. And one of the people I consulted was my Gen Z son, who went to the University of Minnesota and was living there during the whole George Floyd incident. Oh. And so I wanted to see how Casey feels about Tim Walz, and we had a nice conversation. I've been watching speeches and interviews that he's been doing. I like Gretchen Whitmer a lot. I like Andy Beshear a lot. Pete Buttigieg is fantastic.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that if I'm Kamala Harris, I'm choosing Tim Walz as my running mate, because here's why. He's been a member of Congress. He's now the governor of a state that Democrats cannot afford to lose in this election. And Minnesota is up for grabs. He also would play very well in places like Wisconsin and Michigan and other Great Lakes states. Yeah. But the reason I think Tim Walz is rising and why he needs to be seriously considered is that he is an antidote to one of the key weaknesses that Democrats have. One of the Democrats' Achilles' heels is that they have struggled in recent years to relate to or connect with rural people. Mm-hmm. And Tim Walz grew up in a small town in Nebraska, and he can talk to rural people. The other Achilles' heel that Democrats have is messaging. So often, Democratic messages are wonky, they're convoluted, they're complicated, they just wallow in complexity. And Tim Walz is really good at taking complicated and making it simple, speaking straightforwardly. And that's one of the things my son said, is the guy shines when he's in a tough spot because he comes across as somebody who is common sense and straightforward, a straight shooter. Democrats can really use that. He doesn't talk down to people. Yeah. He is really wonderful at being able to connect with ordinary working class people. And that's where Democrats have struggled in recent years.
And there's other reasons why Pete Buttigieg is probably not the best bet, and other candidates that he doesn't have any of those issues at all.
Well, and I don't, you know, I would be delighted with a number of different choices. I would have no problem. Pete Buttigieg is really, really talented, and he's really good. So I don't think it's any I don't think it's any shortcoming of Pete Buttigieg or any other candidate. Gretchen Whitmer's fantastic. Yeah, Andy Beshear's Bashir's a rising star.
But two women is a big ask for an election, right?
But I'd tell you, what Tim Walz has got going for him is not only the experience of being in Congress and then being a governor of a state. So he'd be ready to step in as president if need be. Mm-hmm. But man, can that guy connect with ordinary folks? And he wears an old farmer's cap, and he's got that ability to go out to a state fair and just melt right into the crowd and connect with people. I really am impressed with his ability to do what Democrats have struggled to do, and that's connect with rural people.
And what a vice president should do is connect, because he has the time.
Absolutely.
As opposed to a president.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was watching Walz for a long time. I wanted to know why Minnesota had done so well and passed so many great bills, and leaving Wisconsin in the dust. Yep. And he didn't do a lot of speaking engagements. He wasn't out there all the time, but this time he has absolutely blossomed.
Yep.
And he talks like a Midwesterner.
He does.
It's just straight out, straightforward, no messing around with terminology. He just says it like it is.
You know, the other thing, I've heard some people say, oh, he's awfully moderate. He's common sense, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But he is, the thing I've noticed about him, some Democrats are a little afraid of coming off as liberal, or they're a little bashful about saying what their values really are.
That's a problem.
He's unafraid.
Yeah.
He has no problem whatsoever speaking as a progressive and just saying, this is what is right for our country. This is what's right for working people. Former teacher.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
He is. Yeah. He started out as a teacher. He's a very, very strong champion of public education. Mm-hmm. He is no problem saying, hey, these private school vouchers, that's the wrong way to go. If you look at a small town, how many private schools are out in that little town of 400 or 500 people? It's public school or nothing. We've got to have strong public schools if we're going to have viable small towns. And he's right. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely right.
That's too logical. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I thought he originated the term weird.
Right.
Some people have been saying it was Kamala. She brought it up, but I didn't. I haven't connected with.
Oh no, it was Walz.
It was Walz.
It was Walz who
did
it, right?
Definitely did.
And there's a great example where I think a lot of Democrats, you can't say something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, well, these people are just weird. their policies are weird. Their behavior is weird. They're just weird. And he's not afraid to say it like it is. And that's something that Democrats have been bashful about. That's a breath of fresh air, as far as I'm concerned.
For me too.
And it's a Midwestern gentle little remark.
Yeah.
It's not cursing.
That's right.
It's a little weird.
It's Minnesota nice way of saying it, right?
It's a Minnesota nice.
That's it.
I know. I always use MAGA, right, as a substitute, an acceptable substitute. But I really like the word weird. It just works.
And with that, we got to wrap things up for today.
Wow.
Well, weird, huh?
That's a weird way to end it.
I know. God. Okay. Well, Mike McCabe, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right.
Appreciate you being here. That's going to do it for John and Gordy and Catherine Lake for this Wednesday. We'll talk to you bright and early tomorrow, 6 a.m. right here. 92.7 WMDX. Have a great day.
Take care, everybody.
So long.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brina Godar from the State Democracy Research Initiative on the two constitutional amendments on the August ballot and public service announcement. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hamas's top political leader assassinated overnight. Iran saying Ismail